And hello to another edition of Connecting Consciousness. Thank you very much indeed for taking the trouble to listen and watch and to do your own research. There's been a great deal happening, and I think back to the last few weeks where I'd said that October, November, December were going to be really busy. We're going to be quite a big change for us all, and that definitely seems what's happening. And at the moment there's a huge amount taking place. It's really quite incredible. So what I'm going to do is go through the updates as usual, and then we'll have some of the questions and then thank people. But I will try and keep it to an hour if possible. But we are going to have some Christmas specials, so you know, there will be that extra to look forward to. All right, so first of all, the geopolitical situation, which is far more serious than I think the media is even daring to be open with. We're looking at the Ukraine situation. Now, if you cast your minds back, and if you didn't pick it up on the news, then there should be plenty of references to it in YouTube. There was a school in the Crimea where a lone gunman went berserk and killed 19 students before turning the gun on himself and detonating a bomb. Now, whilst it is perfectly possible that a student would be able to create a bomb and do what he did, it has, to me, all the hallmarks of some form of operation where the poor man, and I would call him that, was mind-controlled, and after he'd gone on the rampage, turned the gun on himself. So the important thing I want to make here is that this is a marker. So 19 predominantly Russian supporting families lost children in the Ukraine. The other issue is we didn't get any details of the bomb, so we don't know really whether the bomb was just something that was handmade or whether there was something much more to it, something that was far more expert. Then we go through a little bit of time, and those of you who perhaps have had watching the news knew that Russia built a bridge between the Ukraine and the mainland of Russia, because Crimea was geographically cut off because Ukraine had declared this independence from Russia. So a very expensive and a very remarkably well-built bridge to take traffic, road traffic, was built across it. So the Washington Explorer, I beg your pardon, the Washington Examiner, a newspaper that I hadn't actually come across before, the sub-editor or one of the editors did an article, and he gave an opinion, which is very unusual, saying that Ukraine should blow up the bridge. It's an incredible, really bad piece of journalism for somebody who's employed by a newspaper to actually advocate violence. But that's exactly what this person did. The Washington Examiner said that the Ukraine government should bomb or blow up this bridge. It reached the attention of Russia, and Russia started some form of criminal proceedings against this person. But that's by the by. The important point is that we have 19 people murdered in a school in the Crimea, which is Russian, surrounded by Ukraine. We have an American newspaper then saying that the bridge that joins the Crimea should be blown up. And then what do we have? We have a situation with these three Ukrainian boats, which are intercepted by Russian special forces and prevented from traveling to the Sea of Azov. In fact, what the Russians did was they put a large cargo ship to block off the bridge so they couldn't get through it. My understanding is there was a potential of an underwater bomb that was going to be placed against the bridge to blow it up. Now, for many people, the fact that the possibility of a bomb, you know, for the Ukrainians wanting to blow up the bridge is probably just ridiculous and nonsense. But then if you go onto YouTube, you will find bona fide evidence of the Washington Examiner actually saying the bridge needs to be blown up. So we put two and two together here, and we find this very, very small-bodied but hugely elite group, which are desperately seeking for not just a conflict between Russia and Ukraine, but a world conflict. So that's been taking my mind, and I'm sure it's been taking your mind as well. The president of Ukraine, who was brought in on it was a funded revolution. In other words, some American faction funded this operation, and the Americans often do this, but it wasn't the American government that funded it, it was one arm. And the president of the Ukraine is saying that he thinks that Russia is going to invade Ukraine. He thinks there's going to be a rolling of tanks across into the area, and they're talking up a potential not just of Ukraine being invaded, but all of the Baltic states. So right from the Russian part on the border of the Crimea, right up to Latvia and Estonia. So they're talking about a potential Third World War. Now, the same group that are talking about that are trying to get China to invade North Korea. Now, if you perhaps can cast your mind back to over a year ago, in fact, it's almost perhaps a year, not to the day, but a year ago, and I was talking that Trump had managed to get a deal with North Korea, and one of the reasons for that was that China had let it be known that they were, if not going to invade Korea, but they were going to prevent any of the elite North Korean government escaping. Well, now there's a move afoot to try to get the Chinese to logistically invade North Korea at the same time as this same group want Russia to be, I say forced is not the right word, but goaded into an action into what were the old Russian Eastern European states, but some form of a Russian attack, certainly into the Ukraine. Now, if that bomb had been detonated and that bridge had blown up, absolutely the Russians would have gone straight into the Ukraine. There's no doubt about that. If that bridge had been blown, and so the very fact that this whole operation from whoever these people were behind it, and I still don't know for sure, was prevented, has definitely prevented a Russian attack into the Ukraine. No matter who you are listening to this, think about the country that you live in, and try and think about the most iconic bridge that you have. Perhaps in Britain, in London, it might be London Bridge or Tower Bridge. But if you're in Scotland, it might be something else. If you're in America or France or Germany, it will be another bridge. Well, this bridge is iconic to Russia because President Putin drove across it in a convoy of vehicles only just very recently, and, you know, made it his own. So how would your country react if your major bridge was blown up? Would you be able to sit around a table and have a diplomatic discussion? Or would you be politically pushed into a military action? And I think that's what that was all about, to cause Russia to invade into Ukraine. It didn't happen. We've got three key players here. Macron, remember, who was a banker, and a genuine banker, not just a bank manager, but one of the true bankers. So Macron, banker. We have the president of the Ukraine, and we also have probably key players in Israel who are, I think, heavily involved in this decision-making process that's attempting to push this situation forward. I'm hoping that some information about the Malaysian flight, I think it was Malaysian flight 370, the loss of life there, that I think information might start to come out in relation to huge frauds that are being uncovered. I put on my website recently that something like 170 police, which is a huge number, and specialists basically raided Deutsche Bank looking at money laundering, misappropriation of funds. And this has happened in a number of countries. One of the low countries has a huge amount of money gone missing there. In Malaysia, there's this big issue. And I'm hoping that some of these will be traced back to individual names. And we'll begin to understand how certain people in very powerful families are being caught out. So make no mistake, a raid onto Deutsche Bank, which is being kept very, very under wraps, because if the truth, full truth, were to come out, it could bring the bank down. And if Deutsche Bank comes down, then the European banking system probably comes down. And it's funny, isn't it? I mean, I was talking about Deutsche Bank coming down because of lack of liquidity. And here we are with the official police raiding. So you've got one arm of the state raiding another arm of the state, which shows the fragmentation that's taking place in the higher echelons. I don't think it'll be the end of Deutsche Bank, but I think what will happen is there'll be prosecutions and some names will come in the frame. We've recently had an official communique from the Rothschilds saying that their investment management side, the fundraising bond side, is going to be withdrawn. Basically, that means the Rothschilds are beginning to extract themselves from the very business that made them who they were, which is lending money. And I think that as they look around them and they begin to see key players who have been involved in some very lucrative business deals being taken down or taken out, then they are beginning to say, well, we made hay while the sun was shining and we've had a very good innings and a very good time. Think perhaps it's time now to withdraw. We've seen a number of countries with different police investigations taking place. And although initially when these investigations are started, excuse me, they don't know who they're looking for, as they begin to uncover it, they find that it's the same names coming up. But by then, the media are behind it, they've seen it, they're too far into the investigation to kick it into the long grass. So they've got to go with it. That could never have happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. These things would never even have got off the ground. So there are some big changes there. So that's really important to look on that. Change of tune now. The recent earthquake just off Madagascar. Lots of people talking about that. The official line, I think, is it's some form of new volcano erupting. What I would say to this is that the sound wave, and I don't know how else to describe it, the sound wave detected as the shock wave, whatever it was, travelled over the surface of the earth. The listening stations reported it as a musical. That's the words they've used, and that's an official reports that they said it was very musical. I think normally these things are discordant, they don't seem to connect, but this actually was musical. My view is that this is the Earth hitting a resonance, and deliberately the Earth is attempting to create a sound to activate people and to begin to change things. So the very fact that the official scientific world is at a loss to explain this, they're basically saying that it does not follow the normal earthquake pattern. They don't understand. They have no clue on that. I think that it's something much more special. I think it's not a nuclear bomb. I think it's the Earth actually evolving and doing what it needs to do. So I think that's a positive sign. I'll talk about the indictments. If you haven't yet looked, please look on the website. I've been given a very interesting list, which I've posted, and it details all the United States and each state how many indictments there are, whether they're unopened or still sealed, whether they're in the process of being looked up. And there's something in excess of over 60,000 now. So, you know, we've gone beyond the debate. Are there any indictments? Is it just a figment of imagination? There really are. And there are over 60,000. And you need a veritable army of administrators to produce this, and that's exactly what's happened. So with the recent midterm elections and Trump holding on to the Senate, and in fact increasing his majority in the Senate, it means he's definitely in office for another 2 years. They can't impeach him. It just won't happen. Not possible. Because you need both houses to impeach a president. Now, that means that he doesn't have to open those indictments immediately. I think had he lost both houses, he probably would have started the indictments before Christmas. And from many points of view, well, perhaps that would have been a good thing. But I, from what I'm picking up, there's still more names. So not willing to start the big process because they're still adding to it. So although there are 60-odd thousand, don't assume that's just one name per indictment. There may be up to 5, 6, 7 names on each indictment. So that's something really to follow. There have been some openings of those indictments, and the ones that have been opened have been more to do with the fraud, the financial cases. And interestingly enough, this has crossed the American political system, so not just the Democrats, but the Republicans as well. If you have a minute just to look and see how many senators or congressmen or women resigned before the last midterm that we just had, it's phenomenal. I don't think ever in the history of the United States have so many politicians resigned before an election. And my understanding is that they were shown the indictments and told, if you just call it a day and resign, we won't push this. So whilst the more serious indictments are still remaining sealed, the lesser charges, money laundering, fundraising through very strange means, they're the ones that have been acted on. So have a look at that. There's no doubt these things are real. What is in doubt is whether they will all be opened. And I have consistently said that, you know, I do have a concern that it's very tempting for President Trump to say, okay, you don't go for the nuclear option, so to speak, and I won't open all these indictments. So a sort of a quid pro quo. However, if we look at the number of times people have tried to kill President Trump, I don't think he's got much to lose. And if he doesn't action these indictments pretty soon, and he doesn't stand for the 2012 election, then I'm sure they'll try and kill him again. So he's really got nothing to lose. And the military who are backing him have got nothing to lose. I think they are waiting to get as many fish in the net as they possibly can. This is a dangerous game, but time is running out for that. All right, so Brexit. What a mess. But a mess of this government's own doing, frankly. When Great Britain voted to leave, then the government then should have acted on that and sat down at a table. And I personally don't understand. I've been a politician, and I don't understand what the difficulty is here. Somebody is pulling somebody's strings. Whether you think that Britain should stay in or not, you have to believe in democracy. Otherwise, you know, you shouldn't be voting. And if you believe in democracy, then, you know, that's the vote, and that's what they have to act on. So surely, to goodness me, you sit down and you say, right, we're leaving and this is what we do. But there seems to be so much fudging and hedging around the sides that nobody wants this. It'll come to Parliament, I think, on the 11th of December. I hope to goodness it's a live coverage, because I, for one, will certainly be setting up to watch that live, because the vote will be live. Now, if the Theresa May and the Conservative government lose that vote, then they have an option to bring something else in, or the opposition can bring a new amendment in. If that doesn't work, I think it got up to about 2 weeks, and then they really are in trouble. So it's dreadful for a country that is renowned throughout the world as the political mountain, in other words, the stability of democracy, of parliamentary democracy, to be in such a mess. But that actually is because the British government has allowed itself to be pushed around by these bureaucrats, and they are mostly bureaucrats and politicians in Strasbourg in Europe. And instead of enacting the will of the people, they've allowed themselves to be bullied. Now, there may well be a second referendum. Now, that may well be an option for a Conservative government to save itself from certain death. But there's absolutely no guarantee that the vote will be different. Supposing the vote is held again and there's a vote to leave, what will they do? A second vote to leave. It may be a much narrower majority, but again, a vote to leave. So I really think that the Conservative government is finished. It's totally destroyed itself. And, you know, it is a shame for individuals, because it's always Europe and Britain's connection to Europe that destroys the Conservative Party. You know, if you look back on history, and, you know, there are lots and lots of people who don't remember what I remember. You know, 1971, Great Britain lost what I call the real money, and we went decimal. We didn't have these coins. We had a completely different monetary system. But it was a Conservative government that took us into that. You know, and then we had a long period of time with Tony Blair, the Labour leader, and we may not like Tony Blair, but all the years that Labour ruled this country, not once did they give the pound up, didn't go for the euro. So it's consistently the Conservative government that has pushed this country into Europe. And then it was the Conservative government that said, right, we'll have a vote to get us out of Europe, as if it was trying to make amends for something, and completely screwed up the deal. So it's poor, because it means that ordinary people like us are going to be suffering whatever deal is made, because there's no doubt that the economy of Britain will take a hit because of the dreadful mismanagement in the last 2 years since that election. People would say, oh, well, Simon, you know, you're a Labour supporter, you would say that. But I think any independent person looking at this would say the same thing. Anyway, so that's that. More positive news, perhaps, now. I want to give a plug to Connecting Consciousness in Spain. We need some new members in Spain. We have Louis there. And if you are in Spain, or you are in another country, but you have a connection to Spain and you'd like to join Connecting Consciousness and be part of the Spanish group, I'm going to read out Louis's email, and that's lm.es@intccg.com. You're going to be listening to this, hopefully, on YouTube, so you can play that back. So that's a call for anyone in Spain who is spiritual, who doesn't want to listen to the lies that the government is giving you, and you'd like to meet like-minded people, then please contact Louis on that email address. Louis is obviously very Spanish. I want to thank everybody who has emailed in. We were talking about the music, talking about how the notes had been changed, and how the more original music was more in tune with the earth, and how it was better for humans. So we've had a good response, and we're going to do a Christmas special on that. What I'm going to do is to, hopefully, fingers crossed, interview some of the people who've written in, just for a couple of minutes, and they're going to play on the different instruments with the same piece of music. That's what I'd like anyway, the same piece of music, but in the old key and then the new key. And then we're going to sort of put it all together and have a special session on that one. So that's underway, and I thank you all so much for writing in. So no more now, please, because we've got lots. So that's really good. And I think also we're looking at a second Christmas special to look at questions that are specifically around other topics. So one Christmas special to deal with the music, and another Christmas special to deal with the other questions, maybe about my alien experiences or something else, but that's fine, whatever will come of that. See how much is going on, and it's been really busy. I want to thank and welcome Wales. For those of you who don't know, and you should know, that Wales is part of Great Britain. It's a separate country on its own, and we have a new Connecting Consciousness coordinator group there, and we have some members there working together. So again, if you live in Wales, or you may not, but you're Welsh born and bred and you want to be involved, then, you know, please get in contact through the normal channels and we'll put you through there. So it's a great welcome to our Connecting Consciousness group in Wales. Thank you for doing that. Just, I suppose, come back onto the California fires. Obviously deeply shocked and saddened. I don't know that we're getting the true figures for the loss of life. I think it's clear to all that these were deliberately started in one shape or another. And it's rather like 9/11, when the firemen were driving around in the fire engines, and they put the American flag out the back, and they were being very stoic and, you know, But in their hearts, many of them realized that this wasn't right and that the state was involved in somehow what the Americans call the inside job. And when I look at California, we're beginning to see the same thing, that this isn't a campfire where two Boy Scouts have rubbed a stick together and set a fire up that's gone mad. We are noticing, of course, that there are a number of fires in key locations designed to cut off the movement or escape of certain individuals. And once again, it's ordinary people that seem to pay the price, because certain other things are occurring. Personally, I think that there was a legitimate issue taking place, and then the very nasty people got on the back of that and wanted to cause more poor mayhem to poor old California. So it's been a heck of a time, and I'm sorry that the update has gone on, but there is a really a great deal, and we need to be quite vigilant. Keep your eye on, and we don't normally look at 3D news, but I suggest you do keep an eye on 3D news. So thank you very much indeed for your patience on that. Rebecca, I'm sorry to have gone on, but I'd love to do a few questions, please.
Okay, no problem. Our first question is from Mabel, who says, can you please tell me what happens to these evil people who rule the world and governments when they die? Do they go to a higher place or to a lower place in the afterlife? Well, that's good timing for today.
But, yeah, I mean, people who don't know me will say, oh, you know, you probably wrote that yourself. I genuinely didn't. And for those of you who don't know, of course, George Bush Sr. has left the planet, allegedly, again. We're expecting it. And I just did put a little thing on the website just to say, yeah, I do believe he's dead this time. The best thing I can do, actually, is go back in history. If you think about the Great Pyramid, and you don't think about what Egyptologists tell you, but we go back 10,000, 15,000 years ago, one of the key roles, not the only role, but the key role of the Great Pyramid was when the pharaoh died, or the pre-pharaohs, to give its true terminology, their soul was fired out through what the Egyptologists call the ventilation chambers, or the ventilation shafts, which are nonsense, because they don't actually go into the pyramid, they stop halfway. But to fire the souls out either to Cyrus, Sirius, or to the Orion group of planets. So it was to defeat the energy net around the Earth by firing them through at such a frequency that they would pass through the net and go back to their own particular grouping. Now, there is technology on this planet to allow certain individuals to escape the grid. You can also do it, actually, if you're very, very advanced, very spiritual, very psychic. You have a more than even chance of breaking through that net. So let's take Bush. Would he want to come back? The answer is no, simply because the Earth has now evolved, the consciousness of humanity has evolved, and if it came back, he'd presumably want to do the same thing that he did, but he wouldn't find it possible because the human consciousness had evolved and is evolving to such an extent that he couldn't take that position again. So no, I think his job is done. He will either be given the technology by those around him to return outside of this solar system, or if he doesn't, he'll come back and find himself terribly frustrated, wanting to do what he's done, but not being able to do that. Certain individuals could, of course, find themselves in a few years' time, 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years' time, in a position to atone for what they've done. Maybe they would come back here to try and relearn. Don't know. But in his case, I don't think that he would want to come back simply because there isn't the world for him to manipulate as there was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. The next question is from Michael. Hi, Simon. Could you please share your knowledge of the transgender agenda in regard to Hollywood celebrities and other public figures of the entertainment industry? There are a number of YouTube channels dedicated to what they called transvestigations. They point out a number of unchangeable genetic markers that would indicate that a large amount of celebrities are not the gender they present themselves as. A while back, the rumour was out that Michelle Obama was actually a man. Is it so that a large amount of A-list celebrities are indeed transgendered at an early age in order to divert, twist and invert reality? Thank you.
Partly, yes. One of the nastiest place, the dirtiest place, not in its entirety but in part of it, is Hollywood, and what Hollywood stands for in terms of the culture, in terms of the way it's designed and its history. It's not for no reason do we have so many stories coming out, not least think about Walt Disney. You know, you've only got to look at some of the cartoons that he created to see the imagery hidden in there. And you know, it's reasonably well known that he was a practicing Satanist. He was a member of a group. So if we were to accept that that was quite widespread within the entertainment industry, but particularly so there, then we would say, what would be the purpose of this? And the purpose has always been to manipulate young people. The Tavistock Institute here in Great Britain played a huge part in developing the Beatles. The Tavistock Institute has played a huge part in working with individual children for a whole range of things. And indeed it gets government grants for looking after children. Interestingly enough, of course, Tavistock Institute had a connection in Brighton. I don't think that connection there is now where I used to live. And who were the other people who'd gone to Brighton, Rebecca? Was it
Max Spears and James Casbolt.
James Casbolt,
aka Michael Prednes.
That's right, yeah. And although he may not have gone to Brighton, but also had a very strong connection, certainly with the southeast of England. What is the guy from Lord of the Rings called?
Orlando Bloom,
yes.
He was at school with Max Spears.
Right, and was very familiar with the southeast of England. So the Tavistock Institute is a front for some of the most advanced work on the human mind that is available on the planet. And I think that it's a very, very difficult situation. Can you just give me the final part of that question? Because I wasn't sure whether there was a full or a half part in that.
Oh, sorry, I've moved on.
Oh, okay.
No, let me just go back.
I just wondered whether, because you know, sometimes I miss.
Yeah.
This question has sub questions, and I sometimes miss them out.
The last bit is it so that a large amount of A-list celebrities are indeed transgendered at an early age?
Right, and I said partly, and I sort of answered. That's what I got. Yeah, I sort of partly answered it. If you're trying to influence a group of people, you try and do it when they're young. That was what I was trying to say earlier with Brighton business and that. It's also, though, that it's about destroying the male-female connection. You see, naturally on this planet, it's part of the natural creation, there is a male and a female. And if you are into satanic type thoughts or energies, then you wish to alter or play around or subvert or or corrupt the natural rule of law, whatever that might be. And certainly there have been huge experiments ever since the days of the Nazis in Germany to do just that. So I am hoping that when these indictments are opened, there'll be a large number in this industry, and I'm hoping a large number of people will have to come up and explain what's gone on and open the eyes and the ears for the vast majority of the American and indeed the people of the world. So yes, I don't agree 100% with you, but I do agree largely with you that this has been going on, and it is about manipulation, not just of the individual or the individual's family or connections, but the image they wish to put out. I mean, you know, you only have to, and I think we were talking about this not so long ago, you only have to walk past a department store where you have the dresses, the dolls in the windows to for the people to put their clothes on, and you know, women instead of looking in a standard female form are just like sticks, you know, like the thin anorexic type post. And I mean, this is part of the system that controls, trying to remove femininity in that true sense of the word. It's trying to bring female and male together. It's part of the trans agenda, but transhuman agenda, because if you become a robot, you are neither male nor female. And so don't just look on it from that perspective. See it as part of this very nasty, evil, anti-human plot to create cyborgs that have a biological element to them but are really machines that have no sexuality at all. And that is part of one arm of this agenda anyway. If you think back to the wonderful Terminator films, which I really did enjoy, at least Arnold Schwarzenegger was a male. He may have been a cyborg, but he was a male. But that's because the genre of the film goes back to the early 1990s. If you look at more modern takes on it now, they're showing robots that you can't really tell whether they're male or female. So it's a very good question. Thank you.
Thanks. I've got a little bit to add, I think. As part of this, as you say, you know, the models in the windows for females, they make them look stick thin, so they look more androgynous. And with males, they're sort of feminizing the males in society by adding the estrogens to the foods, the livestock that humans eat, and then this goes into the water. So there's men are exposed to female hormones, which reduces their own hormones, which means it makes them less fertile. So it is affecting the fertility. The other one about transgender is the classic case of Bruce Jenner, who was a male athlete, very masculine figure, masculine role model. I think he's the father of two sons. And then he married Kris Kardashian, who's the mother of the Kim and the other Kardashians. And after having been part of that program, I mean literally that program, he decided to undergo a sex change to become Caitlyn Jenner. I'm not sure why, maybe because the females in the household are valued far above the men in the household, and got more attention and were photographed more. So he became a female, and that, I think, is something that's very it's very interesting, because it is almost showing us that a classic male role model, who is epitome of masculinity, can be converted to a feminine role model.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And I don't doubt that role models can change. I think the thing is that the Earth goes from a patriarchal, this has a 26,000, whatever it is, 26,500 cycle. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, if I can just use my hand, we're on the top of the cycle here. Well, we're coming down from it. This is masculine, and below here is divine feminine. Well, the planet now is, from an energy point of view, is moving down. It goes in like in a sine wave like this. And if this is masculine, it's feminine. It's moving down towards the feminine. So there's naturally a change on the planet. Men are perhaps beginning to have to reevaluate what it is to be masculine, and we're seeing signs of that. But I do believe that there is a very insidious element here which is trying to get on the back of that, because if they can corrupt male and female, then you break down the fabric, not a fabric of society, but you break down the fabric of the planet, you break down the creational force. Thank you. We're going for another one now.
Okay. Right, so Connie says, hi Simon, years ago you said our souls made an agreement with Source to come to this third dimension. You also said this has been a prison planet for a very long time, and when we die our souls get trapped in the reptilian's grid around the Earth, where our consciousness is wiped clean, and our souls are eventually recycled back here again into the slave-based system. With this said, if our consciousness is wiped clean, I would love clarification on how our agreement with Source could even be remembered going through the grid. Thank you for your time. I'm so very grateful.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Because what I've also said is that in many cases people have partial memories. And this mind wipe is not 100% successful. You know, not everyone who imagines or remembers themselves to be Napoleon Bonaparte has a mind breakdown. There are indeed some people who will have been that person or X, Y, or Z. So there are sufficient people who have elements of past lives and past memories going right back to be able to give that information. So we've got this information, not from many people, but there have been some over the last 30, 40, 50 years which have come through, where they are clear that they've had that agreement. Now, in other cases, mind you, remember, people can be forced, it's not a very large proportion, but people can be forced to come to this planet. Some people can arrive here and not get off again. Number of times visitors from other worlds have come here, maybe to take some samples, take some air samples, some plant samples, and then for whatever reason they're marooned here. So we don't just get people who are just fixated on one road, if you like. We get people who are here from a wide range of backgrounds, some remembering absolutely nothing, and that's your unaware and unawake people, who we're waiting for that spark for those people to begin to be what they really are, which is truly human, and to start to push back against a very satanic and controlling system. But there are a sizable portion of people who have, granted, not a huge memory, but they have parts of memory and they remember things. Lots of divine feminine women can remember Atlantis. Lots of women particularly can remember being a native North American Indian or something else. And so these memories do break through. And as humanity's consciousness rises, these memories are becoming clearer and breaking through more regularly. You have a dream, and often that dream is a real happening that's happened a very long time ago, which has been released from the subconscious through to your conscious mind in a very gentle way. The question is whether you can identify that as not just the crazy dreams that most people get, but a real important happening. So we know that in the vast majority of cases, people make an agreement to come here because 100 years on this planet, if you really seek to learn the lessons, are worth a million years anywhere else. Nowhere else, to my knowledge, offers you a third dimensional experience with the potential for a spiritual advancement or enlightenment along with it. If you're, you know, if you're the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth dimension, these light beings, you can't hold a cup of coffee. You can't stroke your favorite cat. You can't reach out and touch someone you love because you're pure energy. Yes, your experience and your love is at a different level. And these people actually want to come down. They want to physically experience and learn. And that's why most people come here out of a choice and a will, and it is source that makes that barrier, that grid, break so those individuals can come through. So it's about free will, it's expressing free will to come here. It's a good question. Thank you. Now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read out my thank yous. I might have gone in a little bit more to perhaps the last week, so if your name's mentioned again, I'm sorry, but I couldn't quite see where I'd finished last time. So I want to thank people who've supported me, as Gunda, Beatrice, John, Benjamin, Juanita, Patap, Eric, Adrian, Samuel, Ralph, Manuel, Safir, Imrad, Robert, John, Kerry, Alfredo, Marvin, Donnie J, Kenneth, Shari, Charlie, Robin, Martin, Max, Manuel, Drumset, Breeder, Anne-Marie, Jacqueline, Danielle, Bjorn, Simon, Oscar, Marie, Valerie, Bob, Enrique, Rick, Imogen, Janice, Charlotte, Kathleen, Julius, Greta, Katrin, Sue, Christopher, Ruth, Vesna, Tina, Anna, Isabel, Elisa, Andrea, and Hans. So to those of you and anyone that I've, I apologize I've missed off, thank you so much for supporting me. It means a lot to me, it really does. Thank you for making the effort and allowing me to keep going and doing the work I do. We've still got a few minutes left, because I did say I was going to do the hour and I wasn't going to let it go on. So perhaps we could just have one more question. Rebecca, would that be all right?
Uh-huh. Okay. Mauricio or Mauricio says, I've noticed that many animals, in brackets birds, raccoons, dolphins, fishes, whales, etc., are appearing dead all over the world, but with specific and variable locations. Is that connected with the process of shifting poles?
That's a really good question, one that we don't have often. The answer is, the reason I'm trying to get it all together is because it is, but it's more than that. It is magnetic. The north and south will never shift, i.e. the land masses won't change over, but it's absolutely on the cards that the North Pole will become the south and the south become the north. So if you were to stand with a geographical magnetic compass, then it would completely be the opposite. Now, when those magnetic waves have fluctuations, that can cause particularly whales or animals like that who rely on those magnetic fields, and insects to a certain extent, it can actually cause them to go into an environment that isn't habitable for them, and they will die. But that's not really what we're looking at here. I believe a lot of it is to do with the very embryonic start of 5G. There are some very interesting reports coming out now where they've been trialing 5G, and birds have literally dropped out of the sky dead. That's not some fable or some Old Testament plague. It really has happened, and that's documented. You can go and find that. So I think we're looking at a range of things here. We're looking at a range of microwaves or magnetic waves that are not deliberately designed to do this, but are deliberately designed to be unhelpful to humanity. And as a sidekick of that, if you like, we're getting smaller life forms succumbing very quickly. It always amazed me that most people did not put two and two together in terms of, it's not Monsanto anymore, they've changed their name, but you know Monsanto, who created seedlings that didn't need to be germinated by insects. And then suddenly we have millions and millions of bees for inexplicable reasons dying. So let's just say all the insects on the planet were killed. That's not going to happen. We wouldn't let that happen, would we? But let's just, for argument's sake, said that. Suddenly all the plants, all the seeds that you and I grew up with, that have the bees buzzing on them and they get pollinated, and then suddenly you've got to go to one company that has the patent or the copyright on a particular plant or seed that doesn't require an insect to germinate it. And the vast majority of the public can't put two and two together. You know, these insects, which are pivotal to life on this planet, are dying at a very fast rate, and yet nobody is seriously investigating it. And you know when the elite are controlling it, because all the doors are closed, all the avenues are shut off, all the questions are not answered. You know, you need to go to this department to get the answer for that, and then when you go to that department, they say, oh no, we don't have that, you have to go to the other department. It's called the runaround. Number of individuals have attempted to campaign or ask questions on that to get nowhere with it. And so sadly, I'm on record as saying that when tens of thousands of birds drop dead out of the sky, or children start to be born deformed, then will those unaware and unawake people begin to question such advances in technology? How long did it take before the cigarette industry had to actually accept that it wasn't going to be able to sell cigarettes to the Western world? How many years did people know that the smoking cigarettes could cause cancer. And yet, how many times did Hollywood show a film portraying people smoking? And they pushed it. You know, I've been watching some 1970s reruns of a TV series, and everyone's got a fag in their mouth. Everyone's smoking. Now, is that because they did in the office? Or is it because the people behind it want to push for the cigarette industry, trying to sell cigarettes through a very, very, very clever medium? It's not an advert as such, but it's going on. And now what happens is all those cigarette companies move to these vaping devices. Again, the ordinary people don't understand that. You know, the profit and the sales of cigarettes have gone down in the Western world, but the money's just shifted to these vaping products, these pseudo-cigarettes. And also they've gone to developing countries like India and Africa, and they're sort of selling there. So, you know, it's a market, isn't it? It's about money. And one of the major themes that I hope to goodness I've hammered home time and time again is that to these very unscrupulous people, human life doesn't count. It's money. You know, so they've always rewarded, and the system in this country, and I guess in most Western countries, maybe the world, I don't know, has rewarded those individuals that make money rather than those individuals that save life. You know, and I keep saying it. You know, why does a bank manager get paid more money than a nurse when a nurse saves lives? So we're basically living in an environment that says we reward the creation of money over the creation of life. And the reason is, of course, if you're one of these hugely elite people, you don't go to the standard hospital, do you? You have your own special medical care. You're not worried about that. You're not worried about the poorer service that's being involved in. And that's not an issue for you. And until we change the fabric of the rules of society to say that human life is more important than the creation of money, and, you know, we won't have a real change on this planet. And time again, and everybody who's listening to me, I'm sure, you'll know that whether you're working in engaging with your local authority, your local council, a federal government, a private company, that it is the system, the organization, that has everything geared for it and not you. In other words, everything is run to make it easier for the corporation or the government or the system or the employer. And you, the individual, you've just got to get on with it. It's just too bad. So nothing's really organized or altered to make it more beneficial to you. Everything is designed to make it easier for the structure. And my heart goes out to those good people who work in those organizations, who look out of the window and they see the ordinary people, perhaps in a hospital waiting room, and they look at them and they think, that's terrible. Look at the way we're treating these people. It's like cattle. But they're employed by the organization. And so it must be really difficult for those people to have a break of consciousness. I couldn't now really want to go and have a standard job. I couldn't come and do this radio show if I was actually working one of those, because I would be terribly torn between what I was saying, and then I would be in acting and being part of that. All right, okay, and now I think, well, I see we've got a few minutes left, actually, so we will sneak another question in. So we'll have one more question, Rebecca, and then I really will call it a day.
Okay.
Because it's been so busy lately, these last few days, trying to keep up with all the changes and all the things happening.
Okay.
We're busy.
Yeah, okay. So someone called Organic has said, "Hello, Simon. Can you tell what is your perspective on dreams? Thank you."
Well, I mean, there's so many books that have been written on dreams, and most of them are coming from people who've done many years in university and written their thesis on it, etc., etc. And Freud, of course, did a fair bit on that. All I would prepare to to add is what perhaps just came up a little earlier ago, that I don't just believe that the dream is a creation of crazy and wonderful things in your mind. I believe that on occasion It is a fantastic way for the subconscious to release real and genuine information to the conscious mind. So let's say something happened to you 20 years ago. You saw a ghost. You're a five-year-old kid. You see a ghost walk through a wall, and you're so shocked by that that you blank it, and you just don't remember it, or you have a feeling of unease every time you go to that part of the house. And then 20 years later, something happens, and you have this dream, and it comes back. So I fully say that on those occasions, that is something that happened to you. Now, the other possibility is that we receive a dream, but we're not remembering something from 20 years ago. We're remembering a message that's being sent to us in real time. So we appear to be dreaming, but we are actually either remote viewing, or we're astral traveling, or someone is sending us that information. The real exciting part is to be able to say which is the crazy dream and which is something that's based on reality. My dreams normally, when I have them, and I probably have, I'm getting a few more lately, I probably get three or four a year that I remember. So literally three or four a year at most. I went through a phase in my life where I had one dream a year that I could remember. But most of my dreams are around cats. I'm collecting them from somewhere and taking them somewhere else. So that isn't an alien dream. That isn't something, that's just a normal dream. And I think everyone would know whether they had something that was a bit special. So I can't, and I wouldn't want to debate into what dreams are all about, because there are people that have done many learned years in university who can write books on that topic. But I have the value for the dreams from what I've said. And when I work with clients, I actually value their dreams if I can feel that that dream is a message to them, other than, you know, you don't like your grandmother or you're going to be late for school. So I don't ever dismiss dreams. I want to hear them all, check them out, and then see if there's any value in them. All right, I'm going to wrap it up now, because it's been one heck of a week. And of course, it is the 1st of December. And you may see I have an advent calendar here. I couldn't find my Winnie the Pooh advent calendar, so I've got that one, which isn't very religious. So if people are saying, why have you got a religious advent calendar? I haven't. This is a table. Someone probably won't like Father Christmas there, but anyway, there's a Father Christmas and lots of forest animals all sitting around the table, and I will be opening my advent calendar and seeing what it holds for me. Thank you very much indeed. Please continue to do your own research. Don't be pushed or jumped by some of the information that are going to come through mainstream media. We've got to hold our cool, hold on here. There are some very, very deranged people who have got nothing to lose and do want a global conflict, and it hasn't happened yet, and I don't believe it will happen, so we've just got to hang on in there. It is a very serious time, there's no doubt about that, but I am looking forward to Christmas. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Bye bye.